you, is distinct from all the rest of creation, including the animals, thank God, in that he is made in the image of God. And so as God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, so man is three components, body, soul, and spirit. And it's in the most explicit example from the scripture of these three parts that the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we finish up this truth series, the next to the last Sunday, today being about disciplines, I want to talk to us today about the disciplines of the spirit, the soul, the seat of your emotions, the mind, and your body. Discipline, or better yet, self-discipline, let's make it real personal today, is the training and the control of oneself and one's conduct for personal improvement. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, I hope you have your Bibles today. I have a lot of scriptures. I hope you have your Bible and a notepad. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. Can you turn me down a little bit? But I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Verse 27. I train, I exercise control of my own body. And I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, remember that old cliche, when you point, there's what coming back to you? Three times, I myself should be disqualified. Whatever happened to self-discipline? There's many books, and I love to read. There's many books and many speakers now that guide the wandering lost souls to self-fulfillment, self-satisfaction, self-awareness. But not many tackle self-discipline, because self-discipline requires an honest look at your strengths and your weaknesses, with a very high emphasis on the latter, weaknesses. It builds, which is a process, the will to say no when a very powerful appetite inside of you is screaming yes. So as I read this in my study Bible this week, it further noted when you have self-discipline, you can say no to friends and situations that will lead you away from Christ. When you have self-discipline, you can say no to casual sex, save an intimacy for marriage. When you have self-discipline, you can say no to laziness in favor of I can do it and I will do it. You can say no to excessive eating, spending, working, gaming. Self-discipline is a long, steady course in learning attitudes that do not come naturally and channeling your natural appetites towards what God's purposes are. Man is made up of physical material, the body, that can be seen and touched. But he is also made up of immaterial aspects which are tangible. And that includes the soul, the spirit, intellect, will, emotions, conscience. And it's these immaterial characteristics that exist beyond the physical lifespan of this human body, and therefore they are the eternal aspects. And it's these immaterial aspects, it's the heart, the soul, the spirit, the conscience, the mind, the emotions that make up our whole personality. And so the Bible makes it very clear that the soul and the spirit are the primary immaterial aspects of humanity. But listen to me. It is the body that is the physical container that holds them on this earth. So it's so important that today and forever we are constantly learning disciplines to protect and develop all three of these aspects in our life. And so let's start with the physical container that holds the eternal aspects, the body. It is by our body that we function. It is by this physical container that we function. And it's comprised of organs and cells, which consist of proteins, carbohydrates, amen, and fat, sugar. Bones, muscles, tendons, we know. It's by our bodies, these physical containers, that we move through and participate in this life. This is what carries the spirit and the soul. It is by our body that it is contained within it, our nervous system with nerves and the brain. It is through our bodies that we connect to the physical world with our five senses. And so a very quick search online will give you some very staggering information regarding our country's most serious health problems. And I'm not going to bore you with statistics today. I'm sure you've seen them and they're at the touch of a finger on Google. But overweight and obesity rates have more than doubled in adults and tripled in kids since 1980, the physical container. And the percentages are downright disturbing because gluttony has produced significant health consequences, contributing to increased rates of serious diseases. My friends, we have a problem. Proverbs 23 and verse 20 says, "Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags." And so it's very easy to focus on the drunkard part of the scripture, because it's actually the latter part of the scripture that is even more disturbing. It's called gluttony. And so in America, we have nicotine addictions and alcohol addictions and pill addictions and addiction on the list could go. But what about food addictions? What about overeating? What about shopping addictions? Oh, we laugh. I'm a shopaholic. Spending addictions, overspending addictions, excessive gluttony. And on the list goes addictions, dependency. So we have sports addictions and gluttony, relationship addictions, social media, technology, TV, phones, iPads, gaming, work. No self-control, no self-discipline, gluttonous. And we are destroying the body, the physical temporal container that God created and trusted us with, that houses the eternal. And so it leaves me perplexed. If I cannot discipline one third of what he's given me, what in the world does that leave the two thirds looking like? If I can't discipline this, if I can't say no to this, what does that leave my soul and emotions? And then we wonder why there's so many emotional problems and spiritual problems, because I can't even say no to this. No wonder our soul, mind, and emotions are so out of whack. And oftentimes we don't even realize that we are addicted until it's gone. It's taken away. It's not there. And we feel as if we can't even breathe without it. I can't breathe without it. I can't function without it. Not another minute, another step without it. Whatever it may be. Whatever it is that is coming to the forefront of your mind. And so I say again, it is by our body that we function. And so why can't we function? Why are we so dysfunctional? Because our body is a mess. The very outside container is wrecked. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, you are not your own. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Not an easy subject to talk about, is it? Because it goes back to discipline. It goes back to I. Psalm 134 and verse 14. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do I believe that? Do I live my life that way? Do I practice that in the way I treat my body, that I was fearfully and wonderfully made? The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, again connects the body, the mind, the soul, and the spirit in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The way I present my body is a spiritual worship unto God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. So my first question, how are you taking care of your temple? How am I taking care of my temple? I often hear, I don't have time. I don't have time to go for a walk. I don't have time to cook that food. I don't have time to eat healthy. I don't have time. And I bet if we would just take a magnifying glass and just zoom it up to 24 hours in one of our days, just one of our days, that a minute and a half bathroom break that turned into 14 minutes because we took the phone in there with us because we had to find out what everybody was doing on Facebook. I just got you 12 and a half minutes. Just go in the bathroom and leave your phone out. That second bathroom break, because there's probably maybe two in a day, that you go in there and you did a little better this time, a little better. You only surfed for 10 minutes, but it only should have taken you 30 seconds. You got you 9.5 minutes. So now you have, what, 21, 22 minutes. And then that TV show that ain't real. It ain't real. They ain't real. What they live in ain't real. And it's not achievable. You can't have it. It don't work. And I understand that you can DVR it and you can shave 18 minutes because you can fast forward through all the commercials. But you still got 42 minutes of nonsense. Now you have, what was it, 22 and a half minutes in the restroom, and 42 minutes. You now have you over 60 minutes. That's a great visit to the grocery store to get some good healthy food. That's a great 30-minute walk around the block. That's a good 30 minutes of sitting outside, drinking some water, breathing in nature's air, meditating, reading. We do have time. It's what we choose to spend our time on. That is nowhere in my notes. That was free. So my first thing I would ask you to do is leave here today, and we got to stop making excuses. See, I'll be very honest with you. About 3 months ago, I went to the doctor. I was having some health issues. And the first thing he asked me, well, the first thing they don't ask you, the first thing they make you do is step on a scale. And you step on the scale, and it's like, I have not seen those numbers before, ever. And it's been 2 years since I've had my kid. And then you go sit in the office, and he says, are you stressed? Stress. Isn't everybody stressed? Of course we're stressed. He said, you got to lose weight and you got to lose some stress. And see, what happens is typically we walk away from there and saying, well, I'm not as big as they are. I don't weigh that much. I could weigh this much. And everybody's stressed. And we destroy our own temple. Instead of saying, you know what, if I will discipline myself, and if I will not watch that TV, and if I will not spend that much time on social media and get off the phone and quit gossiping about this, I may have 30 minutes in my day to do something. And guess what? You can find it. We can find the time for what we want to have the time for. We can. We can make excuses all day long. I don't care if you get up at 6 o'clock and you work all the way down here and you get back at 6 o'clock. Somewhere in the day, we are wasting time. How are you taking care of your temple? Number two, the soul. The soul, which is also referred to as the mind, which is the seat of your emotions. Our soul is what gives us our personality, and it's through our soul that we live out our relationship with God and with other people and with ourself. Our soul has three major components: our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind has a conscious part and a subconscious part. The conscious mind is where you do your thinking and your reasoning. Listen to me. The subconscious mind is where we hold. The subconscious is where you hold your deep thinking and reasoning. The subconscious, you hold your deep beliefs and your attitudes. The conscience, your thinking and reasoning. Your subconscious, your deep beliefs and your attitudes. The subconscious, the things that you don't even have to think about, you just know in your gut. It's also where we have our feeling, our emotion. We retain our memories. Our will is what gives us the ability to make choices. Listen, you make your own choices. The power of choice is yours. Say, me. Say, me. Say, I choose. Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your friend. I choose. The Bible says, choose you this day. You get to choose. I get to choose. And so I am the sum total of my choices. And far too often, we're living in a society where it's blame. I blame so-and-so, and I blame. You know what blame is? It's be lame. Every single person sitting in here, I could go down every row right now and talk about things that have happened to you. Choices and decisions that you never even dreamed you'd have to make, byproducts. But at the end of the day, I have to go stand in the mirror and say, what did I do? What did I choose? Well, I thought, I understand that, but at the same time, I chose. We are all the sum total of our choices. You choose. From the very beginning of time, Adam and Eve, she had a choice. And what did she do? She started blaming. At the end of the day, it came back to Eve. You chose, honey. Adam, you chose. Even if you didn't say anything, you made a choice. You chose. I choose. And so through a very complex way, our mind, our will, our emotions are connected to the body through our endocrine, nervous, and immune systems. They're all connected. Dr. Herbert Benson from the Benson Hinson Institute for Mind and Body Medicine, and I quote him, he says, the mind and body communicate constantly. The mind and the body communicate constantly. And what the mind thinks, perceives, and experiences is sent from the brain to the rest of the body. And so isn't it amazing how stress and emotions can affect our entire physical body? If you're involved in the medical industry in here, you know what I'm talking about. You see it every day. Consider the following. Almost half of all adults, I think the statistic was 45%, suffer adverse health effects from stress. 75 to 90% of all doctor's visits are from stress-related ailments and complaints. Stress. And so one of the things that me personally, I've been having to deal with is rest. We have got to have rest. Listen, you know, I don't have to sit up here and give you the difference between lazy and rest. If you're being lazy, you know you're being lazy. I can't even define lazy. You just know if you're doing it. But we've got to have rest. Rest. We go to sleep, but we don't rest. We lay on the couch, but we don't rest. We disconnect in front of the television, but we don't rest. We don't even know how to handle 30 minutes in a room with nothing. No TV, no noise, no nothing, just noise. We don't know how to do it. You turn the noise off and you're just like, oh my gosh, because you got to listen to your thoughts and rest. Are you kidding me? Rest requires discipline. Rest is a discipline. The soul and the spirit are mysteriously tied together and they make up what the scripture calls the heart. Listen, the soul and the spirit are tied together. It is the soul, it is your mind, your emotions, and your spirit that tie together that make up the heart. Follow me. The writer of Proverbs declares in Proverbs 4 and 23, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all, listen to the word he uses, vigilance. For from it flow the springs of life, your soul and your spirit. Keep it with all vigilance. From it flow the springs. Why do you not have life? The Bible says he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. We see here that the heart is central to our emotions and will. So the second question that begs to be asked is, how are you taking care of your soul? How am I taking care of my soul, my mind, my emotions, my heart? How am I taking care? That's a huge problem these days. We have so many emotional situations, emotional disconnects, or emotionally unhealthy. So many emotional issues. But it ties into my third thing, the spirit. It's in our spirit that we have the meaning and purpose in life. And it's at the deepest level of our spirit that it gives us meaning and purpose. And our spirit, listen, our spirit enables us to love one another, ourself, and God. And I've talked about that before. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm afraid that sometimes we cannot love our neighbor because we do not even like ourselves. And you know the difference between love and conceit. I don't even have to go there today. You get me. But we look in the mirror. We don't even like ourselves. How in the world are we going to love somebody else? It starts in our spirit. It's through our spirit that we have communion and fellowship with God. Our spirit gives us intuition for right and wrong. Our spiritual health, listen to the connection. Our spiritual health has a significant impact on our emotional health, which has a major influence on our physical health. Listen, it all goes back to your spiritual health. If you are not spiritually healthy, and I'm going to get there in a minute, but if you're not spiritually healthy, you cannot be emotionally healthy and you cannot be physically healthy. Hard truths today. The interconnection between the spirit, the soul, and the body is a complex connection, but nevertheless, the connection is real and it is important and we have to be aware of it. It's the daily battle. It's the constant struggle. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, inspired by God, writes in the third John, that's right before Revelation, but in the third John, chapter 1 and verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things, above everything, that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Listen, even as thy soul prospereth. And so this is the indication of the importance of attending to matters of the soul as it relates to being healthy. And oh, that we would pursue full health, not just body. Not just soul and emotions, not just spirit, full health. He said you're comprised of body, soul, and spirit, fully healthy. But there's a key verse that describes that there has to be a separation of the soul and the spirit. Hebrews chapter 4. Because how many of you know that your emotions will lie to you? How many of you know that your heart will lie to you? Y'all know it will lie. It will, you know, your head has got the answer and your heart will lie. And what do? We just listen to the heart. We'll just follow your heart. That is the biggest lie. Do not follow your heart. Listen, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's read the word on that. For the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so, what is it? What's the key here? What is it? Everybody say word of God. The word of God. Not the word of the pastor. Not the word of the self-help lady. Not the word of the book. The word of God is what discerns the thoughts and intentions of your heart. It brings truth to your heart and to your head. And so we see in this passage of scripture that the soul and spirit can be divided, and that it is the word that pierces our heart to bring the division of soul and spirit that is something that only God can do. And so as humans, we live eternally as one spirit. We have a soul and we dwell in a body. But there has to be a separation of our soul and our spirit. There has to be a separation of what is emotional and what is spiritual. And far too often we're living in a sensational society that says, oh, just appeal to your flesh. Just appeal to your emotions. Just appeal to what makes you happy. And what appeals to our flesh and what makes us happy is destroying us. And we sit on pews every Sunday and the religious world calls ourselves Christians and we don't even know the word. We don't even know how to separate what is emotional and what is spiritual. What is truth and what is lie. We don't even know. Because we don't know. Our beliefs and our attitudes are determined in large degree by our faith. And they will play a major role, listen to me, in our thinking patterns. It is our day-to-day thinking. You are thinking, always thinking, conscious and subconscious. You are always thinking. You are always talking to yourself. Everybody in here is crazy. Some of y'all show that you're talking to yourself. Sometimes my kids will go, Mom, are you thinking? Because I'm like going, if you ever talk to me, you will know if I'm listening to you because my face will tell everything. And if I'm not listening to you, you will know too because it's kind of like a glazed over look. We're all talking to ourselves. And so what we are thinking day to day has an impact on our emotions and our feelings. And it is our emotions and our feelings that have a major impact on our behaviors. And so it's in this regard that our thought patterns, what you are thinking, play a significant role in your emotional and physical health. Proverbs 23:7, if you don't have it circled and underlined and starred in your Bible, please do it. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what are the purpose of disciplines? Why do we need to discipline the body, the soul, and the spirit? Because we have to transform the thoughts and feelings that we habitually have. It's the quote that says this, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character, and watch your character, it becomes your destiny. And what did it all start with? Your thoughts. So I tell you today that what you think, you will become. And see, we don't talk about this a whole lot because the New Age movement has come on the scene. And they have taken book, chapter, and verse and plagiarized it and put it into their own books and are making millions of dollars for what they just took book, chapter, and verse out of. Because all throughout scripture, and there's a ton of scripture, the Bible says it over and over again. And I just say it right now to you. It's not New Age. It's the Word of God. Whatever you think, you become. So what are you? Check your thoughts. Are you what you're thinking? Because the word doesn't lie. Change your thoughts. Change your life. If you're taking a note today, write down, change my thoughts. I will change my life. Disciplines are much more about training than they are trying. We often think that Jesus, listen to me, I'm getting to the crux of my meat here. We often think that Jesus will touch us and we will magically change. See, that's been a misconceived idea in the church. Once Jesus touches you, you're going to magically change and everything is going to be right. No, that's nowhere in the scripture. Transformation of any significant part of humans, physically, mentally, spiritually, require training and not just trying. Follow me. Search out the New Testament. In the New Testament, all throughout the New Testament, Jesus often heals bodies miraculously. You know what a miraculous healing is? It's instantaneously. Now, there are healings that happen. There's a progressive healing, but there's a miraculous that is instantly. And all throughout the New Testament, you will find Jesus miraculously healing. But listen to me. He never, ever, ever, never heals someone's character. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I never find where he heals somebody's character. It requires our participation. It requires my determination. It requires my training. And we cannot just try harder to be more like Jesus, or try harder to be fruitful, or try harder to do this, or try harder to do. In order to actually achieve these things, we have to begin the process of training. It is a process. And you know why we don't do it? Because it took me 30 years to get here, but I'm upset if I can't get out in 3 days. It took me 37 years to get to that weight on the scale, but I'm upset and I quit when I go to the gym 3 days and it don't happen. It took me 30 years of a pattern to get into that kind of relationship, but I'm upset when God doesn't miraculously heal it in 3 days. It's the part of society that we have adopted into our spirit, and it's an elevator society. And we get in the elevator, and we push number 7, and dadgummit, if them doors don't close faster, just pushing it, closed doors. God forbid somebody wants to try to come in. We're like, I got to go up there. We go to McDonald's, and now they give you these little coupons. If you don't get your food in 60 seconds, then you get to go over to the side and park and wait for them to give you a free whatever Coke that you're never going to go back and get anyways. But we get upset because it's a fast food society. It's a microwave society. Pop it in, hit the quick start button, 1, and it's done. And we bring that philosophy, that concept right into our lives and say, you know what? I have lived irresponsible, undisciplined for 47 years, and now I got all the results, all the problems that came with it, and I don't understand why God just doesn't heal me and let it go in 22 seconds. Romans 12 and 2. If you have your Bible, I'm going to wait for you to get there. Romans 12 and 2. This is how it's going to happen. It's the word. If you don't have that one underline it, highlight it, asterisk it. Romans 12 and 2, it's the word of God. And what does the Bible say? The word of God is quick and powerful. It's life. The word of God says that you will be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Can't anybody else do it for you? That psychologist, I went to a counselor, absolutely love her. At the end of the day, sometimes I would leave and think, I really just paid her to hear myself talk. But she asked me the right questions. And what does she get me doing? Thinking. That counselor can't change you. That pastor can't change you. That spouse can't change you. That job can't change you. That book can't change you. None of it can change you. All it can do is help you, but you will not change until you are renewed in your mind, until you start looking in the mirror and saying, I am worth it. I can do this. The first time I got on the elliptical, after 2 minutes, I wanted to fall out and faint and die. Kill whoever created that thing. That is the most ridiculous. That is retarded. That is nonsense. Elliptical. I mean, I need like fans blowing on me and loud stereo surround sounds. I tried to go in the movie theater rooms and then I put the flashlight. It was so nasty. I felt like I got sick just going in there. But what you do is you train your body. I can do 2 minutes. See, what we do is we go in there and say, I'm going to do 30 minutes because she's doing 30 minutes. Well, honey, she's been doing 30 minutes for 18 years. You go in there, you do 2 minutes. Just try walking around your house. I'm serious. Then try walking around the block. You know what else I do too? I don't do good with diet. So if I go and get fish tacos, which are supposed to be healthy, they give me 3. Well, then that's where it kind of splits up because I eat all 3 tacos and the rice and the beans on top of it and his Coke. Because, you know, don't count if you drink his. And if you can stomach a diet, it washes all the other fat away. Just drink a Diet Coke. You'll die faster. We all laugh because we know it's the truth. So when I'm eating something good, think about this. So seriously, I had fish tacos this week, okay? They're my favorite. Rusty Bucket, I'd ask them for a little percentage of whatever y'all go spend over there. They have the best blackened fish tacos. But they bring out three, and then they bring out a bowl of rice and beans on top of it. So I do understand that that rice is probably not the best. That bean is okay. It's a good protein, right? But then I have three tacos. I eat the first one, and it's absolutely amazing for all of us that have not eaten yet. Yes, it's absolutely amazing, even more amazing than amazing. I do not do that to you when you're preaching. You stop it. I will come for you. And then I forgot. I sincerely did. I forgot to squeeze the lime on the first one. So that owed, that was due me a second one, right? Because you have to squeeze the lime over it. So then I squeezed the lime over it for the second one, and then I was full. But because it was so good, and my trainer was not there, I just didn't eat the shell on the third one. I just ate the fish and that cabbage stuff and whatever that cream stuff was on top of it. We do it all the time. What's it called? It's just excessive. It's gluttony. I was perfectly good with the first one and a half. And honestly, after about the half one, I was just enjoying it. I didn't even need it anymore. What does it look like going forward from here, myself included, when I leave here today? What does it look like? What does training look like? It means that when I sit down and I go back to Rusty Bucket, I'm going to be honest with myself and say, Loida, you know that you're full after one and a half. So let's just go ahead right now and take the one and a half and put it on the plate. And let's go ahead and take this and either share it with someone or put it in a box to go. Even though you may not go back and eat it, that's okay. Don't pay for that extra fat grams. Just take it home and throw it away. And just eat what you're satisfied with. The reality is a king-size bar of Snickers that is soft from sitting in the sun. After about two bites, it's just overindulgent. I don't need the rest of a king-size bar. Like, we got to be honest with ourselves. What is excessive? And so if I start telling my mind before I get there, it's training. I don't need all of this food that they're going to put on my plate. And so I'm not going to eat it. I start telling myself right now. Why is all of this so very important? Yes, health. Yes, long, full, happy, prosperous lives. Yes. But most importantly, because He created every single one of us in here with purpose. There is not one single person. He was like, oops, I had no idea you were coming into the world. Oh, did you know He was going to be here? We got to find something for Him to do. Just give Him breath. Give Him breath. Mm-mm. He said before, read Genesis, before He formed you, you had purpose. So every person sitting in here has a destiny, a God-defined purpose. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is a purpose for your life. There is a purpose for your life more than just an 8-to-5 job in a cubicle. There is a purpose to your life more than just going, somebody ought to thank God. Because you're living in it right now. And if you would leave from this place and say, God has more of a purpose than me getting up at 6 o'clock, getting dressed, rushing to work, working 8 to 5, living through some of the hell that we live through in corporate America, rushing home through traffic to try to throw something in the pan to eat, to cook, to sit in front of the television for 42 minutes and start snoring and then carry myself up to bed. Is that really all He created you for? Then we don't know the God we serve. When I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, when I know that I have a purpose, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, we are His workmanship. Workmanship. Crafted in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. He prepared it beforehand that we should walk in them. And then you have to go. I'm coming to a close. Come on. Just play for me. Stop. Daniel chapter 11. Let's go fast too. Play fast. I'll talk faster. Daniel 11:32. If you have your Bible, you have to go there with me. Yeah. It's right in the middle of just, you go home and read all the story. It's amazing. Okay. Daniel 11:32. This is why the devil doesn't want us to get this. This is why. Because Daniel 11:32 says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, why does the devil want to attack your body? Why does the devil not want us to be healthy? Why does the devil want us to be sick? Why does the devil want to be sick in the body, sick in the head, sick in the spirit, crazy? Why does he want that? Because he knows if you know your God, then you will be strong. And if you are strong and you know your God, then put this verse up on the screen for me if you have it, then you shall do exploits. Do you get that? Do you get that God has exploits for you to do? And so if the devil can keep you bound in body, in emotions, in mind, and in spirit, you cannot do exploits. You can't take me to anybody that has done anything major in society and they were sick in body, sick in mind, and sick in spirit. You can take them to where they have ailments of their body, handicaps, all that, but you cannot give me a successful person that has done exploits that is not weak in mind and weak in spirit. No, they are strong in spirit and strong in mind. We were at a lake a couple of years ago, and this man had been working on the railroad, and something had happened, and he got caught in between two trains, and he lost both of his legs up to here. When I tell you, he was the most amazing. We went and got on his board, and what was he doing? What kind of boarding was he doing? Huh? Wake surfing. He was the most amazing wake surfer. He drove that boat, like, literally, I couldn't help it. I was just staring at him. I was just like, who does that? I walked away thinking he has no idea he doesn't have legs. He has no idea. His mind was strong and his spirit was strong. Even more so, they that know their God, if you know God, you have to be strong and you will do exploits. And so it is the enemy of your soul. It is the enemy of your destiny. It is the enemy of your person, that does not want you to know this, that does not want you to leave here and do this, because he is smart. The devil is smart. In Genesis, listen, my husband said this at community group this week. In Genesis, he came in the form of a serpent, a symbol of wisdom. When you read in Revelation, he's described as a dragon, a supreme wisdom. Friends, we are not dealing with somebody that is ignorant, that doesn't know what he is doing. So we have got to get stronger and smarter, because the devil does not and cannot know your thoughts. The devil has no control. The devil has no control of your body, soul, or spirit. None. None. The Bible says only God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Only God knows. God knows your hidden secret thoughts. But the devil has no control. So how is this happening? We say, well, the devil did it. It is absolutely impossible. The devil only knows what you do and what you say. That's why it says he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's sneaky. He's tricky. He came in like a serpent. Pray tell me, do you ever know snakes until they're on you? I really don't like to know them at any fashion. But usually a snake's not going, I'm coming. All of a sudden you look and there it is. All of a sudden you're bit, you're wrapped, and there it is. He's smart. And then he comes in like a dragon. Supreme wisdom. Why is it happening? The devil knows what you say and what you do. Oftentimes we are giving him power and leverage subconsciously without even knowing it. Because I know the truth of the matter is that nobody goes and says, hey, devil, here's the keys to my happiness. Hey, devil, here's the keys to my emotion. Hey, devil, here's the keys to my spirit. No, 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 no. We don't do that. It happens without us even realizing it. I think I'm doing good. I think I'm okay. I think I got this. And then all of a sudden, what in the world is this? I did not even realize the bondage I had allowed myself to be entangled with. I didn't even realize the unhealthiness of that relationship. I didn't even realize the thought processes and the addictions and the... I didn't even realize it. It just happened. it was shown in the opening video. Can we auto-correct? No. You don't just get to push a button and it auto-corrects. See, the enemy is smart. And so what he does is he puts things vying for our time and attention. Because many of us, if he were to put certain addictions, we can name them all off. We have our categories. I don't care about smoking, or I don't care about drinking, or I don't care about going to that club, or I don't care about doing this, I don't care about... Well, then that's great. He's not going to tempt you with that, right? Because you don't care about it. But what he does is he puts things in your path that vie for your time. They vie for your attention. Innocent, simple little things that steal and rob. It's like the drip of water that consistently drips, drips, drips on the rock until you don't even know it and there's an erosion there. He's smart. He steals your time. He steals your attention. That's how he steals your marriage. That's how he steals your children. That's how he steals your job. That's how he steals your emotions. That's how he steals your spirit. Constant little things for our time, our attention, and our emotions. Before we know it, we're hooked and we're addicted. It takes a very conscious effort, an awareness, a training, a discipline to guard against him. Listen, it takes being intentional. Say intentional. Arranging our lives intentionally. 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5 and 6. So that at the proper time he may exalt you. That's a whole other message in itself. God exalts. Quit looking for position. Quit looking for power. Quit looking for 1 Peter 5 and 6. God will exalt you. Verse 7. You cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So he's seeking whom he can devour. Oh, listen to her. She don't believe it can happen. Listen to him. Listen to what he's saying. Look at what he's doing. He's constantly on the prowl, listening for you and watching you. But listen what the scripture says. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Get rid of the pity party. Get rid of the woe is me. It says the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, there's suffering, my friends. The God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself, listen, somebody get this word today. After you've suffered for a little while, God himself will restore, will confirm, will strengthen, and will establish you. If you don't get anything else in this scripture, I wish you'd throw up your hands and say, okay, God, restore. Okay, God, confirm. Okay, God, strengthen. Okay, God, establish. Woo! It's the word, my friends. Discipline is not something to be afraid of. It's a tool to help me become the kind of person that I am not right now, but I will be. No, you're not this today, but listen to me. You can walk from this place and you can be if you will do. The end goal of discipline is change. You have to see it first. You have to see it in your mind. I often ask people, they say, well, I'm just not happy where I'm at. Okay, what do you want to do? And by what they tell me, I know if they can do it or not. What do you want to do? Yeah, okay, you're going to do that. What do you want to do? I want to do X, Y, Z. I believe I can. You're going to do it. Can you see it? How's it going to happen? If you can see it in your mind, you can believe it. You can be it. There are some of you in here, you have given up career. You have been content with 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. There are some of you who have given up on education because it takes time and work. There are some of you who have given up on dreams and hopes. And God is saying today, if you will restore that in your mind, if you will believe it, you speak it, you will be it. Discipline. Are you willing to do the work? Because if you cannot see it, you cannot be it. First Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, my closing scripture. David was greatly distressed for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul. All the people around him were bitter in soul. Each for his sons and his daughters. Everything surrounding him was bitter. See, you don't have that excuse either. We say just everything is surrounding me is so negative. So everything surrounding him was bitter. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Look at his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. So how are we going to do it? Supernatural versus natural. You're going to leave from here and you're going to put some natural things in place. We've got to get honest with ourselves. I'm going to walk from here. I'm going to get honest with myself today, before you go to sleep tonight, you're going to grab a pen and paper and you're going to say, body, you're going to be disciplined here. Soul, emotions, you're going to be disciplined here. There's some relationships you got to cut. There's some things that are emotionally draining you and you are saying yes to it. You're giving it time. But from this day forward, I'm not messing with it anymore. It's a drain. I'm not doing it. Spirit, you're going to be disciplined here. You're going to read the word. You're going to pray. You're going to fast. You're going to fast. You're going to fast. You're going to fast. When you fast, you discipline body, soul, and spirit. You know the best way to discipline all three at one time? Body, soul, and spirit. And guess what? It's sacrifice. It's work. It's time. It's training. You're going to discipline yourself. But listen, you're going to lean into the supernatural power of God. There are only some things that you can accomplish naturally. And some of those things you have to. But they will only get you to a certain point where you exhaust the flesh. What we're going to do here in the closing moments is we're going to lean into the supernatural power of God. So that while I walk from here, I am just not Loida going back into society trying to discipline mind, body, soul. But I'm going to be Loida with the power of the Holy Ghost inside of me. And I will discipline this temple. I will discipline these emotions. And I will discipline this spirit. Do you have that fight in your spirit? Because if you don't... If you can't even believe me right now, you can't achieve it. You cannot. But if you can say, I don't have the power in my flesh to do this, but I do believe in a God that is all powerful, all knowing. He will sustain me. If you will tap into the supernatural, you will achieve it. Stand up all over the building. We often let you stay wherever you're at. We often let you come at your own. But today, through prayer, through the Spirit, there has to be a step of faith today. There has to be a step of surrender. See, what we do is we want to stay in our comfort zones and we cannot understand why God doesn't do anything. Because in order to change, you have to step out of your comfort zone. There is nothing particularly special about this place. What is special is that you make the act of faith. What is special is that God sees you say, okay, I'm leaving my symbolism of comfort from where I sit and stand right now. And I'm stepping out into what is uncomfortable and unknown, but I'm leaning into the supernatural power of God. Because listen to me, if you don't do it, you won't achieve it. If you don't lean into the supernatural power of God, you can't achieve it. But today there are some of you that have been coming here for 3 months, 9 months, 2 years. You've never stepped out. Ever. It's uncomfortable. It's embarrassing. I get that. I know that. I do. I sometimes think when I come up here, they're probably like, oh, what's wrong with her? Honey, if you only knew. Ain't nobody going to come up here and say, what's wrong with you, baby? What's wrong? We all are going to know that as we take a step of faith and we walk to this altar, we say, God, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. I'm coming into the supernatural. So I'm taking my natural man. I'm bringing him here to the supernatural. I'm taking steps of faith that are going to symbolize what you're going to do on Monday, what you're going to do on Tuesday, what you're going to do on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thank you, Britta. All over the building, you ought to be moving. All over the building, you ought to be moving. Can you take a step of faith. As you walk forward, I want you to see in your mind what you need God to help you with. Come on now. Come on now. The Bible says that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. The devil has been coming to you. We're putting him on blast today, okay? He's been coming trying to kill, trying to steal, and trying to destroy. But the Bible says that God said, I come to give you life. Listen, not just life, but more abundant. I want something to rise up in our spirits today that say, God, I don't want just life. I don't want life coming to my womb. I don't want life coming to my marriage. I don't want life coming to my emotions, to my body, to my spirit. I want more abundant life. Okay? Now, I want that song. We declare war. I went to them last night and I said, I'm trying to hurry. Last night, I had to deal with a situation. There was somebody that was troubled in the spirit, and I knew it was the devil. I said, it is the devil. I got on my knees. I called that person. I said, let's pray. I didn't dialogue. Let's pray. For 20 minutes, I knelt in that living room, and I felt the power of God come over me, and that song came to me. We declare war on the enemy. He is defeated. Satan's under our feet. We cannot lose. We cannot lose. We cannot lose. You cannot lose with the Lord on our side. Listen, Satan, this is it. We're tired of taking hits. We declare war. Y'all, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get through some of the things you're getting through being passive. Now I lay me down to sleep. Father, I thank you so much for this. I do it. We do it. We do it. I'm guilty of it. Father, I thank you so much for this day. Thank you for our family. Thank you for our food. Thank you for our clothing. Thank you. God, I pray that you would heal so-and-so. And I thank you for this and I thank you for that. Cover the blood and doors of our windows and house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 3 minutes. Good night, baby. I love you. Did we set the devil on watch? He's like, oh, that's so sweet. That is great. That is sweet. Now I lay me down to sleep. But there are some things in our life. Satan, you have lied long enough. You got to know the word. And I know you're coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But my God said that he came to give me life and more abundant. So I'm not even speaking life today. I am speaking more abundant life. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Then let's go. Let's go.